I got to be honest with you. There was only one person I wanted to talk to at Radio Row this entire time. Jorge Masvidal. This is your city. This is Super Bowl here. It's like the whole sports universe. This is the center of it right now, man. This is pretty crazy.
Yeah, and it's unfolding in my city, in my backyard. It's nuts.
This has been a wild year for you, obviously. What has the reception been like in the city, George?
Let me tell you. I put it in like context. I used to be able to go to the supermarket at the beginning of 2019, and I was known like by like grandmas and a lot of Latin women because of this reality show that I was in.
Yeah.
So I was like a big thing for a while in Miami. A couple months had lasted, but after the Ben Askren fight, man, I haven't stepped foot in a supermarket no more because it turns into like a 40-minute photo shoot.
What do you do? You do like a Publix delivery now?
What's all deliveries. Everything is everything online, and I'm not a digital person, but it became crazy because it started taking up. If I say to one person, yeah, I'll take a picture with you, and then somebody else asks, you know, yeah, I'm not going to say no to the 10th person, you know? I'd feel like a dick, you know? So I stopped going to Publix.
Well, I was wondering, because you are here, and you seemed last week like you were amping up the Kamaru Usman talk. Normally, when people come to Radio Row, they got something huge to promote. Like, is a fight brewing between you two? Is a title fight going to be announced soon?
Oh, no. The huge thing I got is that my mezcal drop. I got
that's
my own.
Okay. You know what?
I got my own mezcal.
Makes
you know?
Sense.
Now, that dude you just mentioned, he's playing like a tricky game, man. He's trying to be a politician. He wants to fight a guy that's a ranking system, right?
Yeah.
1 through 15 best of the world. He wants to fight the guy that's ranked under me.
Yeah.
And get this, he already beat that guy. And he's saying he wants to fight that guy because he's tougher than me. He's one hell of a trick, you know. He's just, man, he's looking for it, but he doesn't want the fight, man, you know. So I am here to promote my mezcal because I can't promote the fight because he's a coward.
So how is the mezcal business going?
Oh, we're doing great. We've hit the ground running, and now we're sprinting. We're taking over Florida, Texas, California, and Nevada all in this year. And the feedback, the numbers that we've gotten are doing great. It's a great start to the year.
I remember the last time we spoke, you told me that, you know, the unplugging, that was very important to you. That's kind of what kind of this whole turnaround, just getting away from the world, being alone by yourself. Now that you're like this massive superstar this year, do you feel like a need for that anymore? Like, does it feel like
more
you could use just unplugging because everybody wants your time now?
I could use it right now, today. The thing is that no matter what, I'm super disciplined with my my me time. You know, it's to where back then I wasn't as disciplined with it. And I literally mean me time, whether I'm meditating or I'm training by myself. It's just me and my thoughts for that period of time, you know. I get that done every day. Not under the terms and conditions I always want to. I'd rather be in isolation, completely away from people, just in nature, but I still get it in no matter what. You know, I gotta unplug for a while. That's how my brain works the best. I'm like an old computer. I gotta unplug, let it cool down, hit it with the fans, and then plug it back in, and then it works well, you know. So before my fights, I also unplug. I'll go somewhere, wherever that somewhere's at, for like 2-3 weeks and just be in nature and shit.
You did such an awesome job during the McGregor fight week when you were talking to the media, and you, I felt like, yes, obviously you want to fight Conor McGregor, and you made that clear with the money, but you went a little extra with as far as the title on Usman because of, like, talking about the background with the, you know, the crosstown rivalry. It's been long known, ATT versus Black Stallions, and now whatever they moved to, Hard Knocks 365.
Yeah.
Like, is that still a thing? Like, you guys, a crosstown rivalry, you've talked about, like, ATT versus the world before.
It's not a rivalry between American Top Team and whatever the gym is called now. You know, Black Zillions, we took them out of business. Literally, we took them out of business. We beat them on the show, and then we constantly beat them when we came in duels, in big duels. We constantly beat them. The numbers, we bankrupt them, you know. And then the new team that they have now, they have some good fighters there, but it's not American Top Team. You know, not my rivalry in Kamaru's is different because he's undefeated against American Top Team fighters. And I think I fought one guy for sure. Cesar Butante, I don't know why I thought I fought. Maybe I fought another guy that was training there, or I don't know. Maybe I seen the footage. I want to say I fought one guy from over there. So there's a rivalry between me and him, but I want to make the distinction between my gym and his gym. There is no rivalry. Who the fuck is that gym? You know what I'm saying? And if they don't like what the fuck I'm saying, fucking do something about it, you know? But there's no rivalry between my gym, the greatest gym in the world, American Top Team, and to what he comes out of. So I just want to make that abundant. Even they know it's not a rivalry. So it's not. I just want to make that known. They have great coaches. Henry Hoof is a stud. Their wrestling coach is a stud as well. They have a lot of stud coaches. But as far as, like, athletes and stuff, nobody's fucking with American Top Team.
This was a really cool thing that happened before your Nate Diaz fight. Udonis Haslam, who is a Miami guy. Three-time champion with the Miami Heat. He really wished you well, and he loved your story. He was a Kimbo Slice friend of Kimbo Slice for a long time, and he really identified you. You guys, did a little social media back and forth. What did that mean to you? A guy like that who's from down here.
That's like a Miami dude, you know. When sports is kind of different, you know. When especially as I didn't grow up watching sports, and I didn't catch on with the whole like how it works. And I literally mean that I didn't watch sports like coming up. So when I used to think about like a sports team, I would think that the players were from like the best of Compton, whatever the fuck, the best dudes from that area playing for them. That's how I used to think sports were, but then I came to find out it wasn't. So when I was watching, when the Heat were going through the thing and we got a guy that's actually from here, it's just such a fucking amazing extra more feeling. You're like, damn, that dude's from here. Not to take anything away from the other players that come here and bust their ass and do that great shit, but you get that connection a little bit more. You start to see things in his character. You go, yeah, that motherfucker's from here, you know, because he does shit like this and he does shit like that, and that's so fucking damn funny, you know. And just even like facial expression, just things, the way that they carry themselves, you start to relate way more, you know. And it's amazing, man.
Well, he said, I remember when I was talking to him about you, he says we're from the bottom. He's like, this is why we always support our own, that people look down upon us and we gotta fight back.
We fight hard, we know. In between, I think, like, in between Miami athletes, you know, especially talk about basketball, you talk about football, we got fucking killers. It's like this unspoken, like, yeah, we know we're some bad motherfuckers. We shit on the whole country. You know, when it comes to this shit, like, football, we fuck shit up in football, Miami, man. Just Miami in the zone. We got a lot of mean motherfuckers coming out of here that are athletic as fuck. And the fighting is going to start to go that way at some point, I think, you know. I'm going to inspire the next wave of motherfuckers from here to keep kicking ass. You know, it's just an ass kicking city.
What do you think? I was,
and we got a big chip on our shoulder, and we got a lot of swag on the other shoulder, so we got a lot to live up to when you're in Miami sports standards, you know.
Well, one of the things I didn't I've always wondered is like why it doesn't come down here more, because this is the hotbed, like everybody trains down here, everybody's from down here. And I'm like, I think it's personally gonna take, like, I'm talking like major pay-per-views, like you champion, Yoel Romero takes out Stylebender, champion, a little dual champion, defense, American Airlines Arena. I mean, like, that would be, if we could get that done next year.
We got to go bigger. There's a bigger one now.
Hard Rock Stadium?
Right. I mean, I want to fight in Miami, but I need to fight at the biggest thing I get my hands on. You know? Right? Is the Hard Rock Stadium in Miami considered, or is that Fort Lauderdale?
It's Miami Gardens.
Miami Gardens. Counts. All right, yeah. We're doing it there.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Joel saw that bitch out.
How are the hands? I know you talked about your hand health a little bit out of the last fight. How's that recovery going?
I had the stem cell, and it was amazing. I'm not going to tell you what doctor to go to, not do your own research, but anybody hearing this, if you have, like, chronic pain or something, let me give you some word of advice. Stem cell does work, man. I put my body through a lot of miles, every single joint and piece on me, you know. Imagine, if I get picked up in the air and I land, I have to land a certain way, whether it be on my shoulder or my elbow or my wrist, and I'm constantly taking impact. So when I'm training, I'm not recuperating. Even though I'm doing rehab at night, I'm not recuperating because the next day I got to go right back to work with that same tool and bang it up. So I get to see very minuscule every degree of betterness that I go through. You know, like if I'm feeling better, I could legitimately tell if something's working for me. And this stem cell has worked amazing. I've been able to recuperate a lot faster. I'm going through practice. My right hand, I could already do a lot of lifting motions that I wasn't able to do. Not heavy, but I could do them very well and fluid. You know, I had lost a little bit of joint mobility. I've gotten it almost all back already, you know.
That's
so
awesome.
When fight time comes, my brother, I'll be more than ready. And the good thing is that I haven't stopped training. You know, I might not be punching bags and shitting people in the head, but I'm training every day, man. You know?
For Masvidal, it's been a pleasure, man. Congratulations on your awesome year.
Thank you, man.
Looking forward to bigger things. And
this one's going to be, we'll leave it off on this. This 2019, you went to go watch a very good movie, and you sat in there, and the preview was so good, you forgot you were here to watch this other movie. Well, that preview was 2019. Because 2020 is going to be a fucking legendary movie, man. And it's going to be a horror movie.
Jorge Masvidal, thanks for the time, sir.